Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello, and welcome to another Project Love podcast episode. It's Vicky here, the love coach of the Project Love duo, and I have such a brilliant podcast episode for you today as I got to interview mentor, speaker, entrepreneur, and founder of Milky Moon Lab, Merilyn Keskela Drummond. Milky Moon Lab is actually the brand and business that Merilyn created as an antidote to the burnout and anxiety that she experienced in her career in corporate, fashion, and media industries. After experiencing almost constant anxiety and bouts of burnout over the years, Merilyn started to explore cycles within and around her and reignited her love for astrology. She founded Milky Moon Lab in 2016, hosting workshops in the likes of Zurich, London, Milan, and Copenhagen. And her first book on moon power will be published by Octopus in spring 2020. I was so excited to have this conversation with Merilyn, as I've been wanting someone to come onto the podcast for ages to talk about the female cycle, the moon cycle, cyclical living, and more. And this conversation with Merilyn offered all of that and so much more. We talked about cyclical living and what it means to live in alignment with the female cycle and moon cycles. We talked about how the female cycles and moon cycles affect us and how we can use these cycles as our own personal calendars, including the best time to have an important meeting, ask for a pay rise, go on a date, have brave conversations and more. We talked about productivity, and Merilyn talked about a new approach to productivity that helps us to work smarter and not harder. Great. We talked about how we can balance the feminine and masculine energies within each of us. And we talked about body wisdom and the power of movement and dance and so much more. I can't wait for you to listen to this episode. And before you do, I also wanted to let you know that Merilyn has kindly agreed to offer Project Love listeners a discount on sessions to work with her. So if you'd like to find out more about that, and just to find out more about Merilyn and Milky Moon Lab, then you can head to her website, which is milkymoonlab.com, M-Y-L-K-Y. And I'll include the link and all of the details for you to book that session in the show notes. I hope you enjoy the episode. So Merilyn, thank you so much for being our guest on the podcast today.
You're so welcome, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Just before we hit record, we've been having a huge chat about so much of actually what we're going to be talking about in the podcast. I couldn't help myself, and I'm super excited to talk to you about all things related to cyclical living, the female cycle, the moon cycle, and so much more. So to kick things off, what does cyclical living mean to you?
It's quite a big question, right?
It's a really big question.
Really, my journey, I guess, was like so many other people have, like working for corporate, working for fashion, working for advertising, marketing, etc., in this very sort of demanding industries, let's say, which kind of take themselves way too seriously. And we sort of dive into them and then forget that we're actually human beings and become more of a robots who work 24/7. And I was also quite entrepreneurial. So I started my first business when I was about 24 or something. So I was very much about go, 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 survive, do as much as you can, speed, et cetera, et cetera. So it was very much kind of living a life which definitely wasn't sustainable in energetical terms. And I guess that was really, really the sort of kick for me to start looking at how can I actually work in a way that is sustainable and what the way which kind of honors my energy rather than works against it. So after several, it didn't happen overnight for sure, after several burnouts and several cycles, like going really high and then dropping very low, Milky Moon Lab, which is my brand or my business, that sort of just dropped down from the universe, so to say, and came to me. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? And what it became was really the exploration for me to understand cyclical living. And the first sort of part I explored or was diving into was my own menstrual cycle, because that is a really primary resource we all have as women, or most of us have a natural menstrual cycle. So I started to just observe this and understand what it means and how it affects my life. And that was really the first sort of stepping stone for me to start understanding what the cycle really mean and what does observing patterns in your life really mean. So starting from there, what cyclical living really means to me means for me is living your life aligned to your own body wisdom and also aligned to the earth energy and the cosmic, the universal energy, which means that we as humans, we are not trying to swim against the current and do things with timing, which is not meant to be and which is not actually natural, but really sort of jump off a cliff and jump into this river of universal timing, the perfect timing, which is our own purpose, our own journey, and just flow with this rather than thinking that we are able to kind of intellectualize and make our lives something which they're not meant to be, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find this to be such a fascinating topic, and I've been learning about it over the last couple of years, particularly about the female cycle and the four phases. Could you describe the four phases and how we can sort of use this blueprint for creation, for living, working, so that we're able to be in that place of alignment and not be sort of pushing against the tide? And I'm thinking a lot about productivity as well, how it can really help us with increased productivity, because so many of us, myself included, are just obsessed with the to-do list, the never-ending to-do list, and, you know, wanting to do more in less time and, you know, being effective. But, you know, there's times within, and this is something I've discovered, there's times within my own cycle where I know that I'm not, you know, I should be resting and I should be stopping and more sort of in the space of receiving rather than doing. And as you say, we're not robots. And so it's learning how to go with the flow a bit more. And so I know this is starting to be a big question now, but how can we use the female cycle as a tool for understanding what's in alignment for us in terms of how we live and how we work?
This is an amazing question, because really, in my opinion, we got productivity completely wrong, and how we approach it, it's absolutely not sustainable in any way. Mm-hmm. And if you think of it in more kind of, you know, bigger terms, if we think about productivity in sort of a national level or, like, you know, economic level, then we are pretty much fucked, because we're all thinking about growth and this constant growth. But this is just not really, it's not really bringing us to the place we actually want to be in, because the earth is, you know, the earth is so damaged. Mm. And when we think of the female cycle, the earth, you know, we can call it Mother Earth, and the feminine woman, they're actually very much sort of having parallel energies. So what we do to the earth, this can apply completely into the women's life as well. So why we look at productivity from kind of from a quite incorrect perspective a lot of times is because we think productivity means we constantly have to be productive, we constantly have to be doing something. Mm. And this doing that we actually see tangible result is productivity.
Mm.
So something is growing, something is, you know, it's very much about kind of like being in a factory and like you constantly see the piece after piece. It's come, it's becoming ready. You know, it's like 500 per month, you know, 500 per week, whatever. It's like, this is productivity. Whereas actually how much thought went into designing something, how much sort of innovation, how much kind of insights, research went into designing something, that is actually not called productivity. And I think that's wrong in its essence. And when we apply it to the female cycle, we can see exactly the same story. We think we have to produce something all the time. So we have our to-do list, we have our tick list, you know, this is like how many clients we have to see, this is how much work we have to do, you know, books to write, God knows what. And that is productivity. But actually, when we don't embrace the times of slowness and darkness, we can't be productive in the best possible way, because what we do is we keep running towards wrong directions because we don't actually take this time to really ask ourselves, where are we going and why we are doing things and how we are doing things. Because when we take this time to really rest at the certain times in our cycle, which I'm going to explain as well, when those times are, then our actions become so much more intentional. And actually, we become so much more productive because we don't waste our energy on bullshit. We put our energy, we channel it very directly to where it needs to go. And everything can actually be accomplished in about 20% of time when we think, like, than we think. So to be honest, what we do nowadays is we exhaust our energy on way too many things.
Yeah.
And most of those things are actually not necessary for real growth. So it becomes really about doing less, but not in a sense that we actually grow or achieve less. So it's about working smarter. So now we need this time, right, to kind of have this sort of capacity and have this window and portal to really gather those insights. And without, like, this is the beauty really of the menstrual cycle, because it shows us exactly where this window is, where the veil between the unconscious and conscious is very, very thin. And we can actually directly connect with our body wisdom. We can directly connect with the insights, the downloads from the universe, you know, whatever you want to call it, their guides speaking to you, the angels, you know, we can just call it in so many ways, but we all have this gut feeling, what actually tells us very clearly what has to be done and how. So we always have the answers, we just don't listen to them most of the time. And when we talk about the phases of the menstrual cycle, as you mentioned as well, we oftentimes we talk about those phases in terms of the seasons, because for us in the Northern Hemisphere, it's very easy to understand, because we live with the season. So we know what it means to have winter and we know what it means to have summer. So in many different teachings, the seasons have been applied to the different phases. So it's, again, it's very easy and we can actually learn a lot from the actual seasons, like how we behave, how we act in winter, and what we need in like during the winter, we can apply this to our so-called inner winter. And the inner winter in our menstrual cycle is the bleeding time. But again, what I have to say here, which is so important to understand, is every single woman has their own cycle, which is individual and unique, and every single woman has their own truth. So whatever I say, it's not, it doesn't have to be your truth. It doesn't have to be exactly how you experience it, because we all have a different experience and this experience is evolving throughout our life. So I'm not here to say this is how it is. I'm here just to maybe open the door a little bit and maybe invite you to actually generate the self-awareness to start tracking your own cycle and start understanding your own patterns and your own needs a little bit more. So the inner winter is the bleeding time usually. And if you think of the winter, right, what we want to do, it's not really the time when we just want to hang out all the time and be super social and so on. It's very much the time of kind of doing more like inner work and being more indoors and being at home and being with your loved ones and, you know, spending more time with the family and just taking, you know, long paths and putting the fire on and taking better care of yourself. And it's really the time, if you think of kind of, you know, old times, people weren't out working in the fields in winter. They were indoors just, you know, storytelling and like, you know, being with their family and doing kind of indoor jobs. And this is exactly what we're supposed to do during our inner winter. We're supposed to do the indoor jobs, like internal work, the inner work, and really gather those insights, because that's the time when we have been given this incredible opportunity to connect with our inner wisdom. And this is the time when you actually really give yourself this window to rest and be. You can get so much clarity, and you know exactly what to do when the energy is rising again and when you're in the other part of a cycle, which is like inner spring or inner summer. So after a bleeding, we move into the inner spring. And when we think of spring, it's again very similar to the seasonal spring, which is, you know, we think, oh my God, it's going to be fresh and, you know, everyone's really playful and everyone's getting really, you know, sort of boost of energy and it's kind of a lot of happiness and experimentation in the air and so on. So it's a very sort of joyful, happy time. It's also called like a maiden phase where, you know, we're kind of a young women and we just want to play and experiment and, you know, dream and so on. And this is really the time to start sort of, you know, really playing around what you want to achieve, what you want to create in your life. But it's not yet the time to really go out there and push super, super hard. That time comes with the inner summer. So the inner summer to, I mean, from inner spring to ovulation and a few days after ovulation, that's really the time to go out and socialize, network, you know, meetings, whatever you need to do in your life and work to actually express your inner being, your inner work externally. So just like broadcast your the work you do. And because usually during that time, we have a lot of sort of masculine energy. We have a lot of physical energy. We're quite, how do I say? We have a lot of kind of emotional capacity to actually embrace all sorts of different energies we might meet during the day. So we're quite strong and assertive and confident at that time. And this really helps us to sort of just push things out and use this time really to say what you need to say, make the changes you need to do in order to then prepare again for going inwards.
Right, yeah.
So then we move into the inner autumn, right, which is the, which so many women are so afraid of. But actually, this is such a magical time because this is a time of truth. Like this time, like premenstrual time, which can have quite, you know, sometimes even quite serious physical and emotional symptoms. It's actually the time when we can really see the mirror of our inner inner and outer being, like what works, what doesn't, what do we need, what don't we have yet, but actually we really need our life, what do we need to change, who do we need to be with and who do we, you know, we can't be with. And we often think we're just too hormonal, or actually it's not even we think, but people around us might think that we're too hormonal or too emotional or too whatnot, but actually this is your truth. And it's a time when we shouldn't really disregard any messages that are coming through, because this is really something to look at.
Because this is the time when people can think that they're being really irrational. But I've read that this is the time when the two hemispheres of the brain are communicating at their best. So you actually do get the clarity of thought, but is it the frequency of those thoughts that maybe are just too intense at that phase? It feels like we're being irrational, but at the core of that thought is truth. But there's just a lot of them that can feel very intense, like you're being irrational.
I mean, I think this is really where the masculine and feminine comes in, because from like the inner spring and the inner summer, they're the masculine time. And that's why we often feel very comfortable with those times, because this is from like, from society level, we are sort of expected to be like this.
Yeah.
And this is how most of the society operates. This is how everything operates. So this is a comfortable time. Whereas the feminine has been very much lost for a very, very long time and repressed and pushed down, which means we're not comfortable with being in the feminine, which is the kind of primary energy of the inner autumn. And the feminine is chaotic, you know, like you say, it's irrational in intellectual terms. It's something which is just kind of very comfortable with darkness, very comfortable with just flowing with all these different emotions and not actually pushing anything down. And feminine can be very intense and very fierce. And this is okay. But again, from the cultural level, we are told that this is not okay, that something is wrong with us. But that's just the feminine, which has been pushed down for way too long, sort of trying to break the glass and like, get out. And you know, I would say probably like hundreds of years ago, no one even knew what PMS meant, if you know what I mean. It's like this kind of symptom was pretty much non-existent, whereas now it's very much in the mainstream. And why is that? Because we have been not really embracing this feminine time. But feminine is also the creative side, so, and creative not just, you know, painting a picture or like, you know, writing something or, you know, doing photography. Creativity is actually the basis of all life. So it's nothing what we can really repress anymore, because we need this part so much. So yeah, it's very much this question of masculine and feminine from the, like in the cultural level as well.
Yeah.
And how we embrace those emotions and those feelings and this truth, but actually emerges during that time.
And I think some people find it hard, particularly in, you know, corporate environments, to communicate what's happening for them, particularly if you're going through a transition like perimenopause and you don't know how, you don't have the words to even, or you don't have the confidence to say what's actually happening for you. And it's obviously incredibly disruptive, you know, all the hormonal changes that are happening. And I feel that people struggle with knowing how to communicate what's going on for them and how to ask for what they need. So how can we, I guess at a corporate level in work and business, how can we sort of bring that conversation into those sort of very masculine environments?
It's really funny for me that, I mean, it's not actually funny, it's more sad that we have completely disregarded the feminine cycle in the business and corporate worlds, because we actually we miss a lot of creativity and a lot of innovation and a lot of real growth, sustainable growth, what could come out from this. Because when we try to make everyone to work like robots or work in a very masculine energy, it actually becomes very one-dimensional. And I think luckily in, you know, quite a few places it seems to be changing with embracing diversity. And this is exactly when we talk about the feminine cycle as well, it's actually about embracing diversity and embracing the unique voices and unique viewpoints, what people can bring on the table and what actually everyone's real skills are. And the way we could really bring it to the corporate is actually talking about it. Because I think the problem here is it hasn't really only been men. It also is women who keep very quiet about this. They keep, you know, no one is... I've been in places where women are shocked to even hear the word menstruation, which is really sad because, you know, it's such a natural part and it's a beautiful part of our lives. But it is has become a taboo. And it's really the first step would be for women to feel enough support to talk about it more openly and ask for help. But also the other part of this is that the men need to be educated as well.
Yeah.
And for me, or like for Milky Moon Lab, what is really important is to not cut out the men. So I'm really trying to do more workshops or to provide more resources for both genders, for men as well, because they need to know as much as women.
Yeah.
They need to understand as much as women what is going on with women, like with the feminine during their cycle. Because if they don't know, they will never understand why it's important, not just for this individual woman, but also in the culture, economic and social level, to actually really start honoring this biological system again. Mm-hmm. So it's really about not, you know, us women creating our own gang and like, you know, having all these women, like the women's circles, I love them. They're great. But it's really about including the men as well. So it can start from our partners because they work somewhere as well. So it's really about us talking as much as we can with our, you know, brothers, partners, friends, male friends, et cetera, to just start this conversation and be actually open about it.
Mm. What are some of the ways that women can connect with the feminine again and stop sort of, you know, suppressing her? And obviously, you know, I'm talking about masculine, feminine, but this is, it's in both men and women, regardless of gender. How can women, because as you say, the feminine has been repressed. Are there some feminine practices that you would recommend?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the best practices for me, it has been, and I did it for a couple of years and I loved it, was, I called it my goddess rising practice, which really, it was my morning practice. And it was really using the time after waking up to connect with my feminine first. Because during the day, it can be much harder to reconnect with it. But if that's the first thing you do, you've already sort of opened the door for this feminine to flow in. So what that meant for me, or how it looked like for me, was to, it had kind of many different variations, but one of the things was to, when you wake up, What does your space look like? You know, maybe it's really nice things to not just jump out of bed and put all the lights on, but, you know, light some candles, have some flowers next to your bed, you know, put some really nice music on. Just create yourself this gentle way to wake up rather than, you know, the very masculine, linear, rigid way to wake up. So that's already like, you know, it's kind of very soft, receptive mode of operating. Maybe have a bath in the morning if you have time, you know, or have a long shower. Then oil massage is amazing. And we don't even have to go and get a massage. We can completely do it for ourselves.
Yeah.
And
I was reading a post on your Instagram actually earlier with the towel hour.
Oh, yeah.
I love that so much. Can you sort of describe what that is in that, how that could look in your morning practice?
Oh, my God. I can't remember exactly what the towel hour was.
Is that massage?
Like yes.
Towel on your head.
Yes.
Massage oil.
I mean, you know what? It's such a funny story, actually, because when I used to work for a corporate, I was always the one who got to the office the latest. And my colleagues were like, why can't you just wake up earlier? And I was like, are you kidding? I'm waking up at 6 a.m. in the morning. It just takes me 2 hours to do my goddess rising. I can't wake up any earlier than that.
I do think if I did everything I wanted to do in the mornings, it would take me 4 hours. If I did all the things I wanted to do, I'd have to get up so early.
But you know, sometimes it actually makes sense to get up earlier because you create such a good foundation for your day. And I'm not saying we all have to start waking up at 4:30.
Yeah.
But, you know, even if you can wake up like half an hour earlier, it's already making a big difference. But yeah, the towel hour, I mean, it's really just giving yourself the time in the morning and giving yourself the feminine time. Like, what does your feminine need? And, you know, maybe it is the massage. Maybe dancing is amazing. Anything which is more like creating this softness and creating the flow of your creativity. So, for example, when I say dancing, it's not like, yeah, learn some dance moves and do them. No, just move your body, just stretch your body, just, you know, flow with whatever you want to flow with. You know, just put some nice music on and just do whatever you need to do. And don't, you know, try to do some Ashtanga yoga or something. No, like, just flow. And, you know, for example, with dance, it's actually an incredible tool because during just moving our body, like, it naturally wants to move. Again, it's almost like we're opening a door to our unconscious, and actually a lot of insights can come through during that time, or our body can just tell us those messages during that time. So it's quite an exciting thing to actually do because we get a lot of clarity. But yeah, you know, just also like just being naked and yeah, just massaging yourself and using this amazing oils and having essential oils and having an essential oil diffuser maybe. And there are so many different ways. And journaling, I really love writing so much. And this was one of my absolute must, you know, bees in the morning practice where I just free write whatever comes up and have a really leisurely breakfast. You know, don't just like eat like a goddess, you know, don't just try to have, I don't know, a piece of Weetabix as quickly as you can and run out of a door. No, just really create the space for yourself. And, you know, again, don't beat yourself up if you can't do this every morning or if it only happens maybe once a week, or just choose whatever you want to choose from there. And, you know, start slow. But I really think this kind of morning, you know, creating this feminine practice in the morning is such a beautiful way to embrace your feminine side and really inject more of this into your life.
I've sort of experimented with trying to do things that I like to do in the morning as a sort of afternoon break, like a meditation at lunchtime. But I always find it's not done as often if I don't do it in the morning. And I know everybody's different, but for me, I always feel really grounded when I have my morning routine of journaling in bed with a cup of tea, Yorkshire tea, and my journal. I'm super happy. I always start the day, well, most of the time, more often than not, start the day like that and do my 3 pages of just writing, stream of consciousness, and then some gratitudes. And I find that I don't feel as exhausted at the end of the day if I've had that me time in the mornings. And I think, you know, for a lot of us, and our audience tell us this all the time, that they struggle with these patterns of burnout and overwhelm. And actually one of our podcasts on overwhelm that we did back in January was one of our most listened to of the whole year. And, you know, I've had my own experiences with that as well, those patterns of burnout. Would you say that having like a way of stepping into our feminine is a way to break that pattern of burnout, to balance those masculine, feminine energies?
Absolutely. Because burnout often happens that we are operating on an energy level which is not natural to us. So clearly, when we would balance our energy to our natural energy, the burnout would happen much less. Oftentimes that means, though, you have to make quite radical choices and quite radical changes in your life, which can take time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to happen overnight. And, you know, I would say it's even better if it doesn't happen overnight, because if you have to make those kind of changes overnight, that means things are that bad that you literally can't live anymore like you were living. So it's much better to just start small and kind of integrate those changes. And the more you integrate those changes and the more you tune in, the more those changes naturally start happening, and the more you embrace your sort of balanced state of being.
Mm.
So yeah, absolutely. I mean, the feminine is very much about, you know, working with your flow and working with the earth energy and being receptive and, you know, being very intentional also in how you live your life. And when you think like, okay, when we could really all slow down and just do every single thing we do, even if it's washing dishes or posting something on Instagram with absolute intention. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very hard to have burnout, right? Because you really just step, you know, with complete consciousness and awareness, you step just from one thing you need to do to another, and there's no rushing and there's no stress. Mm-hmm. And when we are in our balanced state, it's just the burnout is actually, it can't happen.
You know? Because we're balancing each month with the, you know, output and input.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I've started to plot in my calendar now the different phases of the female cycle and when is good for different activities. So the sort of the winter phase, you know, is best for the sort of hibernation reading and going inwards. And then having my meetings during the spring summer phase and any sort of podcasts and like this, which is actually in this summer phase now. And then, you know, like all saving all the life admin stuff, like taking back that ASOS package or whatever else for that, that sort of autumn phase where you're like, you know, really optimized to getting a lot of things done, you know, task oriented, that power phase and the spreadsheets. If you are a spreadsheet person, that's probably the week that you'll be most wanting to get into that spreadsheet, and doing, you know, accounting and things like that. But that in itself has been radical for me, just understanding when, you know, is best for me to be doing different types of tasks across the month. And it's taken 2 years to get to this point now. Mm. So yeah, I totally agree that it can take time to implement these changes because you're learning so much about yourself as well through the process. I haven't yet figured out how to also layer on top the moon cycle. I know we wanted to talk about that as well. And especially if you don't have a female cycle and you want to tune into the moon cycles, how would you do that?
Mm, absolutely. The moon is really interesting because the lunar and the lunar cycle, the length of the lunar cycle and menstrual cycle, they're actually the same. So it's not really a coincidence that the feminine and lunar are so connected. And the moon gives everyone who doesn't have a natural menstrual cycle. So it's also, you know, not just the women who have, you know, postmenopause or you know, also men, obviously, but also the women who are on the pill or any other sort of hormonal drug or device which actually inhibits the natural menstrual cycle. So the moon gives you this blueprint when you don't have your primary cycle to work with, and actually it's exactly the same blueprint than you would get from your menstrual cycle. So it's a really beautiful tool. And the way you can use the moon is, again, you can sort of look at it as it would be the seasons. So when we talked about the inner winter before, which would be your bleeding time, the new moon correlates with the inner winter. Mm-hmm. So the new moon would sort of be your bleeding time in that sense.
Yeah.
And then when the moon starts you know, kind of growing, waxing, then this is your inner spring. So the first quarter moon, when it's exactly midway between the new moon and full moon, that would be your sort of the milestone for inner spring.
Mm-hmm.
And then the full moon is the inner summer. So if you think like full moon, it's the maximum potential, the illumination of all energy, etc., etc. So that would be the ovulation time. And then we go again with the tide turns into the waning moon, and we go to last quarter with which then would be the inner autumn in your menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. And then I would say what is quite interesting to actually observe is also the time before the new moon. So I call the 3 days before the new moon the dark moon phase, when there's actually no visible moon in the sky. And it's quite interesting because actually, regardless where I am in my own menstrual cycle, when the moon reaches the dark moon phase, I actually do get premenstrual symptoms.
Really?
And I might be, you know, somewhere like inner spring or inner summer in my own cycle, but this affects me in a way. So it gives us this other energetic layer where I actually do feel like I would be in inner autumn. So the physical energy might be quite low. I might be quite emotional, just not really wanting to do much, just really kind of relaxing, resting, just embracing the void and embracing the darkness. And again, this is actually a really good time to work with your own intuition and, you know, asking for those insights and getting those messages. And ideally, we would all have 3 days off during our menstrual bleed and 3 days off during the dark moon. So that would be amazing. But, you know, of course, me included, I can't always achieve that.
Mm-hmm. What about if you do have a female cycle and it doesn't go, which I'm sure a lot of people experience, it doesn't always fit with the moon cycle, so I bleed when there's a full moon. Is that sort of if you're sort of honoring one cycle but then the other cycle is sort of, you know, optimized for you know, say the full moon about masculine and you know, output, but then actually what's going on in your body is more optimized for input, which one do you sort of honor?
I mean, this is exactly where things get really interesting. Because, you know, our life is super complex. And this is exactly where, when we start talking about layering the cycles, because in every moment, the energy is completely unique. And it's unique exactly for that reason, that there is no moment in time when our own cycle, the lunar cycle, the astrological sign, the solar cycle, the planets would be exactly in the same place. Mm-hmm. So every moment is completely unique in its energetical blueprint. And layering your own menstrual cycle and the lunar cycle as of phases is actually the simplest form of starting to layer the cycles. So what that means is, practically, in like every morning, I actually write down where I am in my own cycle and where the moon is. And that already gives me quite a good understanding of what the quality of a day is energetically. So for example, if my own, you know, okay, let's take your example. So for example, if you're bleeding, so that means your primary cycle is actually quite low energy, you know, being in the inner winter, being in this inner work realm. But the lunar cycle is in its full illumination, you know, super powerful energy. Then what it actually gives you is, because you are so open, so permeable at that time, our inner winter is a time when we don't have those masks on. And that's why we often lash out and we become so emotional, because we have lost our sort of external hard walls in the skin. So bleeding during the full moon actually gives you this amazing ability to really gather those cosmic energies, or really gather those energies, what are available at the time, because the full, the moon has its full potency, the full sort of energetical blueprint. So also what that means for you, maybe personally, is that you wouldn't be that tired during that time, because you get this extra energy boost from the moon rather than a woman who would be bleeding during the dark moon phase or the very early in the new moon phase.
Yeah, that's what I found, actually. I had loads of energy the last full moon. Sorry, turning into a personal session. What's interesting as well is, when you're talking about the summer, the spring summer phases, if people have if they need to negotiate in a meeting or they want to ask for a pay rise or, you know, the best time to go on a date. It might be that tuning into those sorts of phases each month might give you a clue of when is a good time for those things to happen, knowing that the communication centers in our brain are at their, the verbal centers in our brain are sort of at their most connected during that phase. So that's a really good time to go out there and speak up and meet people and connect. And I find that so fascinating, knowing those particular windows of time for yourself and like then leaning into those.
Absolutely. I mean, definitely. And, you know, that's why this is actually our personal calendar, right?
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, let's meet, 5th of May, that's free. No, you actually look at your own personal calendar. When does it work for you? And, you know, often it's not possible for us to have a huge meeting with 10 people and really look at our personal calendar and make everyone to meet us at this time. But sometimes we do have a choice, especially when we talk about dating, for example. You know, it's not like we have to arrange something with 15 people. So I would say, again, it's unique and individual for everyone. And some people would maybe feel amazing during one season of their cycle and some other would feel amazing during some other season.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, though, I wouldn't go dating or, you know, have a meeting, you know, which is really important during the winter time for sure. Mm. And also probably not during the very early in spring. The best time would be sort of late spring, summer. Because that's a time when we're just this radiant social beings.
Yeah.
And, you know, want to be out and want to chat and communicate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say for like the first date or an important meeting, that would be the best time. Because also we have this, especially when we talk about meetings, we do have this confidence and assertiveness usually.
Yeah.
To, you know, really make our voice heard. At the same time, when you have a meeting where you have to go and state your truth and sort of like no bullshit manner, then early autumn is not the bad time either, because our bullshit radar is quite high at that time. So it's really like, you know, there's no time for, you know, just...
Don't tolerate it.
Exactly. Yeah, you just don't tolerate it. Exactly. So I would say that's not a bad time either. So it really depends what you want to achieve.
Yes. So we talked a bit about the masculine and feminine energies, regardless of gender, and, you know, the qualities in each of them. Would you say that opposites attract? So people with more, who have more of a dominant sort of masculine energy, or that's what they're displaying, are attracted to people who display more of the feminine qualities?
To be honest, I think this is, again, something where I could ask the question, what do you want to achieve? Right? Because we all need both energies in a balanced state in our lives. So, for example, what would be amazing, obviously, would be if you're a feminine, you know, energetically quite feminine woman, let's say, and you would have a very masculine man, but you would still need to have this feminine input from somewhere. So, do you have like incredible sisterhood around you where you can get this feminine energy as well? So we do need both in our lives. And often I would say, yes, obviously women are drawn, I guess, generally to the masculine energy, because the masculine, especially when we talk about masculine in the sense of the kind of sacred masculine or like divine masculine, which is really capable of creating this container for the feminine, what we need. Because feminine in its true form is completely surrendered. So the feminine actually is always trying to surrender. And how we have lived our lives as women, you know, when we live in London and we run our business and so on, we have forgotten the skill or the way of surrendering. And what that means is also, first of all, we have generated a lot of masculine energy within ourselves, and feminine and masculine are in balance. But also we often don't have the masculine energy, which we can then source from external sources, which is like our partners. So in order for feminine to surrender fully, it does need the masculine counterpart. So you can actually have both of those energies balanced within you, which mm-hmm. would be amazing mm-hmm. as well, that you can create this masculine container, the divine masculine container for your own feminine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something what we also need from, you know, what would be amazing to have externally, to actually have this masculine who knows how to create this container for the feminine to flow freely and to be this creative force and to really surrender into the softness and receptiveness. Mm-hmm. And again, then we go back into teaching men as well why the feminine is important, why do they need the feminine energy and how they can support that. Because actually, I think in our true being, we're all striving for this divine masculine, divine feminine.
Mm-hmm.
But we have sort of lost that throughout the decades and centuries before. Men also need their feminine time.
Yeah.
And they also need their time to be soft and be receptive and just let go and surrender.
Yeah.
And then that's a time when they need to get the masculine from external source. So whether it's their partner who can step into the masculine, just kind of hold, you know, just hold the container for that time, for example.
Mm.
So it's not going to be just a one-way relationship, but it's really about playing with those different energies and, you know, which, like, who has more of the masculine to support the other's feminine.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's super, super important.
And that can change in time. So there might be times where I, for example, am more in my masculine and times where I'm more in my feminine. And it's like the dance between the two. Mm. If you have a partner who's also, you know, their dance between their two as well.
My God, completely, completely. Because it also depends, you know, what the situation is at any given time. And sometimes, you know, I can be a great masculine at that time. And then sometimes my partner could be a great masculine at that time. So it's really just assessing and being, you know, being able to dance with those energies. So yeah, that's that would be just the idea of any relationship, really.
Yeah, that is definitely an ideal, isn't it? Do you do work with men?
Yes, I actually do. Because, you know, as we talked about the moon, this is a completely universal tool for everyone. It doesn't have to be a woman with the menstrual cycle at all.
Yeah.
And to understand cyclical way of living, again, it is as important for men as it is for women.
Yeah.
And I have so many male friends who actually feel the moon more in their lives than even women.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is an incredible, incredibly important to actually work with men as well.
Mm.
And also with the menstrual cycle work.
Yeah.
This, again, needs to be really kind of men's work as well as women's.
Yeah, totally. I love the work that you're doing. I think it's so important and so needed. What is next for Milky Moon Lab?
It's a good question. I guess I'm personally in my late inner autumn right now. And seasonally, we're also in the kind of very late autumn, which means I'm actually taking it quite slow at the moment. There are a few things which are quite exciting and which are coming up now. And one thing, obviously, is my book is coming out in spring, which I'm so excited about. So this is mainly focused on the moon and the kind of astrological energies what are affecting us during the moon's journey around the Earth. But what I'm going to do, maybe even this year, is actually do like a 28-day online retreat where I support women and men to really understand what those different energies mean in terms of when the moon is going through Virgo or Leo or Libra or Taurus, like what do those times actually mean? So this is something I'm going to do online. So I think it's going to be quite a few online offerings coming up very soon, and also like a mini course about the moon method and really going deeper with this. Because the whole idea with the Milky Moon Lab work is really to reach more people, because it's such an important topic. So yeah, I'm going to find digital is maybe the way to go.
Yes. Where can people find you and how can people find out more about that?
I guess my website is probably quite a good good way to get in touch, which is milkymoonlab.com, which is M-Y-L-K-Y, not Milky with I. And the Milky Moon Lab, what actually this means, it has a very specific meaning. So Milky is the nourishment we need. So if you think of the mother's milk, right, this is the nourishment we get. The moon is about timing. It's about the phases. It's about the cycles. And the lab is the incubator to get your voice heard. So all together, it's really about creating the nourishment, creating the fertile soil, and understanding when is the perfect timing to get your voice heard. So it has kind of this meaning. So yeah, the website, Milky Moon Lab, is great. Then I'm on Instagram quite a lot as well. So that's also Milky Moon Lab, my tag. And yeah, I think just kind of keep tuned because I'm sort of in the creative phase right now. So I'm not exactly sure what might pop up, but there might be some more goodies what might come.
Yay! Oh, I can't wait to read your book as well.
Absolutely. And also I do a lot of one-on-one sessions, one-on-one courses. So if anyone wants like further sort of understanding and really work in a very deep way with their menstrual cycle, with their moon map and, you know, their kind of personal unique blueprint, then I'm happy to help.
Oh yeah, I might be in touch with you about that. And then do they head to your website to find out more about a session?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Merilyn. I can't believe we've been talking for nearly an hour and I've could probably carry on for another hour more. But thank you so, so much for taking the time to be on the podcast today and share your wisdom and insight into this topic. I'm so fascinated by it for many reasons. And I just can't wait to see what the future holds for you, for Milky Moon Lab. And I can't wait to read your book.
Oh, thank you so much, Vicky. It was just absolutely wonderful. I always love talking about this. So it was a complete pleasure from my side.
Yay.
Listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say best podcast ever. Thank you.